Looking through some old things, and I saw a little joke story. There was a preacher that just, he had a long, he just had, he couldn't stop preaching. He'd just go on and on, and he'd get done. He'd say, you know, I preached way too long again today. And so he said to his wife, he said, sweetheart, if I'm getting too long, I want you just to sort of signal me, and I know I need to shut down. So for a couple weeks that worked. She would go like that, and he would realize. But after a while, when he saw her going like that, she thought more like sickle. And so he's preached longer than ever. So that didn't work. So he was at some sort of a conference, and one of the preachers was giving a few tips. And he said, you know, I had trouble speaking too long. And somebody told me there's a certain kind of lifesaver mint that if you stick it in your mouth underneath your tongue, it takes about 30 to 35 minutes to dissolve. And when it's dissolved, it's time to sort of cut down the sermon, shut it down and be done. So his wife was, well, she was all for it. She went and bought a big old roll of them. And every Sunday, she'd always slip it in his hand and he'd put it in his pocket. And just before he preached, he'd slip it underneath his tongue. And that worked for several months until one day she gave it to him and she slipped it in his pocket. But a button had popped off his shirt. And he slipped that in his pocket. Do you know they say he's still preaching? Oh, my goodness. Today we want to talk about a subject. We want to preach on a subject that is one that we all can identify with because we all have it. On one form or another, we have this particular issue. It's something that speaks to all of us. It's something that sometimes we don't like it to speak to us. Sometimes we're glad that it speaks to us. Sometimes we cooperate with it, and sometimes we don't. It's called our conscience. God's given everybody a conscience. And your conscience is in some sort of a shape. A conscience is not the Holy Spirit. That's a different issue. But the Holy Spirit can work through your conscience. And we're going to discuss that and talk about that and wonder, what is your conscience before God like today? So before we start, can we pray? Before I pray, would you ask the Lord to help you and open your heart and mind toward the message today and for God to search and reveal to you what state your conscience is in? Heavenly Father, I pray today as I preach that I'd have your power. Lord, I sense as much need today as any time that I need your strength to preach and your focus to be able to speak what you want me to speak. And I pray today that the things we say would fit the needs of each individual separately and our whole church as a whole. And Father, I pray that I'd step up and preach like I should, nothing more than that. But everything that I appropriately from you should give the congregation today. Now, Father, may you keep us from distraction. May you make us quick to respond. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Today I'm going to have to slip on my glasses. I'm a little, eyes are giving me a little fit today. Reader's Digest had some definitions, and they said, conscience is defined as a man's thinking filter. You know, you got a refrigerator, you got a filter, you have to replace what every 6 months, filter that water. Your conscience is your thinking filter. The dictionary says it's an inward knowledge or consciousness. It's the faculty that possesses judgment on the moral quality of your actions or the actions of others around you. Another dictionary put it this way, it's the moral sense within oneself that determines whether your actions are right, wrong, good, or bad. And so I do something and my conscience says, that was good, or it says, that was wrong. And so we talk about our conscience. Don't you have a conscience, sir, as somebody else would say? One can have peace with God if they have a good conscience towards God. You can have peace with God that's fake if you try to suppress your conscience and you try to not respond and God speaking to your conscience. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, would you turn there? It says in the list of things concerning a deacon, look at verse 8, likewise must the deacons. Now, should we pick on the pastor or the deacon's qualifications more than anybody else in the church? I would say no. But a deacon and a pastor should have these qualities. And it says concerning the deacon here, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. Look at verse 9. Holding the mystery of the faith in a what? In a pure conscience. So here it says a man, we could say a lady, that's spiritual and they present themselves, if they're going to serve God, they have to stand before God with a pure conscience. What's a pure conscience? When I know that my motives were right, that I'm responding as God would have me to respond in my life. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. Just go with me there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, talking about the conscience further. Verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. Let's just stop here. Who's this? This is Paul. As he is ministering among the Corinthians, he says, I've renounced some things. Dishonesty, walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God in a deceitful way, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's what? Conscience. When the word of God is preached, here's Paul, a great preacher. He takes the word of God and he said, we just give you the pure, unfaked, untwisted word of God and we lay it before your conscience. That's what a pastor does. That's what an evangelist does. They come and they stand behind this pulpit and they take the word of God and they lay it before you. And you then, with your conscience before God, examine yourself. We've talked about whether my life is right, whether it is wrong, whether I'm responding. And so every Sunday, our conscience, the Holy Spirit, works on that conscience and talks to us. Conscience is an internal judge examining all that I do and say. Conscience expresses itself. Listen to this. Before, during, and after an action in my life. Think about that. I'm thinking about do it. Conscience says don't do it. I'm doing it. Conscience says don't do it. I did it. The conscience says you shouldn't have done it. And the Holy Spirit just says, you know what? You knew better. You knew better. That's conscience. The Holy Spirit uses it. Conscience expresses itself. Like some feel that the conscience is one of the factors in hell, that a person regrets deeply offending their God, but there's no hope for it to be remedied ever again. And so the worm dieth not. This idea of the conscience working, and that's just what some people would feel. So we get an idea, the realm of conscience, and what is the conscience? Would you turn with me, please? We're going to look at some different ways the conscience is laid out in the Bible. Turn, if you will, please. Let's go first to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Here we find the first description of a conscience. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Here we see a darkened conscience. What darkens a conscience? Sin. If you would look at this passage, we were to take this, before I was saved, my conscience was dark. I didn't have the light of the Word of God so that I had a frame of reference of what God wanted me to do. And I had a darkened conscience. And Satan has a way of manipulating a darkened conscience. But the light of the Word of God came into our life. Let's take this supposition today. There was a day when you found the light of the word of the gospel, and God said to you that you were a sinner that needed to be saved, and he pricked your heart through your conscience, and the Holy Spirit convicted you, and you said, "Dear Lord Jesus, I want to have my sins washed away," and you accepted Christ, and the darkness of that conscience began to dissipate. You now have the light of the Word exposing what is right and what is wrong. Now I have been changed. But before then, I had this darkened conscience. Go to Romans chapter 1 and let's see what the world that does not respond to the light of the gospel. Their heart gets darker and darker until they do rotten, horrible things. Satan twists that darkened conscience. And it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." Let's stop. Well, we had a couple good songs today that were right down the message right here. The flowers, the trees, God is, he's revealing himself that there's a creator. God of design, the God of creation, the God of who made everything. There, it says in this passage, "The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made," that's us, "even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Maybe you're here today and you're still in your darkened conscience, and yet God has told you over and over and over again that you have a sinful heart. And God says that sin, unless it's dealt with, you're going to die and go to an eternity separated from God in a place called hell. And God says, "I've shown you and I've revealed myself to you, and you can't deny, so that you're without excuse." But the darkened conscience just sort of pulls the blinds down and says, "I don't want to see it." And it purposely turns the light down so that I won't be revealed. It rejects that light. Look, if you will, at verse 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was" what? "Darkened." We could go on this passage of scripture, and we find what it's like in a society that turns their back on God. Their heart gets darker, their conscience gets darker and darker. And this is what's happening to America today. We have turned our back on God and the things that are happening today. You say, how could we be doing those things? Because the dark conscience is getting darker and darker as we push the light away. We don't want to hear it. This is that darkened conscience that's talked about in this passage of Scripture. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and look at this passage. And this can be even true of somebody that's saved, but we're going to take it more for an unsaved person. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times there shall depart from the faith, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience," what's the next word? "Seared with a hot iron." I remember the first time that somebody explained to me what it meant to be seared. My mom was cooking. My dad had no teeth from the time he was 31 years old, had them all extracted, and he didn't wear false dentures. So my mom would put everything, she cooked everything very thoroughly till it was soft. She used a pressure cooker. Now they use those to blow things up. But she made everything, and she would, in order to make sure that the meat, when you're cooking it that long, you want the juices to stay inside. So those of you that know how to cook meat, one of the techniques that you do is you take that roast, that steak or whatever, and you have a nice hot pan, and you take that hunk of meat, and you slap it down in there, and you leave it for a minute or less. And what it does is it seals off all those little blood vessels and all those little ways that would let the juices flow out of that roast or that whatever. And then you flip it over and you do the other side, and it seals it over, and it just seals it. And now you've got like a little hard case around that, and now you can cook it and it'll stay nice and tender on the inside. So what is searing? Searing is when you take some flesh and you put it right against the hard, the heat, and hardens the surface. Picture a person, a man, that has his hand, and some reason he has had it burnt, and now all the tender little nerve endings and all the rest are now seared, and he can't feel. I saw a man years ago that had a burn like that in his hand. And I was just fascinated, and I said, what happened? He told me, and he said, I can't feel. I said, really? He took a needle, and he went like this and just pushed it right through. He said, I don't feel one little thing. And he sewed his fingers together, like some of you remember Red Skelton? Yeah, he just sort of sewed his finger. I was absolutely flabbergasted. He had no feeling. The Bible says here that a person that's had the truth and they purposely turn away, can sear their conscience to when you hear a message, it doesn't affect you anymore. Just hear it, bounces off, bam, just like that. Darker, darker, darker. And I can't help but wonder if there's a line that doesn't get crossed to where you could sit in church all you want and you can't hear. Many, many years ago, there was a young lady that grew up in a Christian home, and she was here in town with her family. And this young lady was sort of corralled to be in church. She didn't want to be here at church, but her family said, if you're going to stay here and be with us, you're going to go to church. So she came. She loved to sing. I mean, during the church service, woo, she sung right out. I'm big. But as soon as I started to preach, she would just go into another world. She did get her heart right eventually, and she explained what she did for a couple years as she sat in the church service. She said, I would hear the pastor get up and he'd say, turn to 1 Timothy, whatever. And she said, I would immediately get into that spiritual look. My eyes were open. My ears seemed like they were intent. I was sitting up straight. But in my mind, I was playing a mind game that I would go down into a room, and then I would go down a set of stairs, and I would go into another room and another room and descend way down into the depths of who I was. And I would sit there and just talk to myself. And I would have a cue when the pastor would say, and finally, as we close, I would then begin to walk up the flights of stairs until I walked out. And just then, when the preacher said, bow your head, I would bow my head. And I hadn't heard a word he said. She was searing her conscience so she couldn't hear the word of God. Now, you might not do it that way. I hope I didn't give somebody an idea how to do something like that this morning. But this is what people do. The light of the word of God comes, and they put up a defense, and they darken their heart. And these passages that we read about, it says the Holy Spirit has expressly spoken. He's convicted. And there's been a reaction to shut it down and darken and shudder the soul. I think sometimes Christians do that too. We darken our enlightened conscience. There's sin in our life. And the Bible calls it an evil conscience or a darkened conscience that we need to deal with. Can I ask you a question? Have you been hardening and darkening your conscience before God? Have you been shutting down the Word of God? Do you say things like, I'm not going to respond even before you hear the message? Several years ago, we had some teenagers getting ready to go to Southland Christian Camp. And they went up to camp. There was a great revival in their hearts. And when they came back on the Sunday evening, and almost to a fault, they got up and said this testimony. When I got ready to go up to the Christian camp, I had made up my mind I wasn't going to listen to one of the messages. I wasn't going to go forward. I wasn't going to raise my hand. I wasn't going to respond. That's searing your conscience. That's darkening your conscience. That's an evil conscience before God. It's possible that we have people that are here that whether you know Christ or whether you don't know Christ, you have purposely allowed your dark conscience to get darker and darker, and you won't let it respond to God. So let's go to Romans chapter 2 and we find another kind of conscience. We've laid out a darkened conscience or an evil conscience. And there's much more. The Bible says that conscience can be sprinkled by the blood of Christ. And it can be made whole. And it can be cleaned. And it can be freshened. And it can be tenderized again. That's a wonderful thing to think of. But in Romans chapter 2, look at verse 15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. And here we find a second kind of conscience. That's a convicted conscience. I know that I'm not right with God, and I'm miserable. I'm convicted. I hear pastor preach. I sing a song. I go to Sunday school. I walk around during the week and there's nobody preaching, but it seems like everywhere I turn, God is speaking to me. And I'm convicted. Perhaps you're a person that you've been convicted. I might not have a clue what you're convicted, whether it's you need Jesus Christ as your Savior or whether you're a Christian that's gotten into some things you should not, but your heart has been convicted recently and the Lord has been dealing with your heart. Could I say to you, you need to take that convicted conscience and respond before God. The Holy Spirit works through that conviction. The thoughts, it says here, and the very bears witness of God's Spirit speaking to your heart. And you need to be willing to deal with it. Let me give you a good example. I'm not going to turn to the passage, but it's in John chapter 8. And it's a story that I think we all know well. The Pharisees and all that group were trying to trick Jesus. And so they brought to him an adulterous woman, and they said to them, this woman should be stoned. Are you going to cast the first stone and condemn her? And do you remember what Jesus said? He didn't say anything. He just said, bring the woman here. And Jesus, stooping down, began to write in the sand or the dirt. Do you remember the story? And we aren't told exactly what Jesus wrote. But in that passage of Scripture, in John chapter 8, verse 7 and 8, it says, and one by one, their conscience convicted them. And they got up and walked out of the room. And pretty soon, Jesus looked up, and what did he find? Just him and the woman. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So what was Jesus writing in the sand? Many people believe this. That God, Jesus, knowing the sins of these people that were picking on this truly sinful lady, what hypocrites they were. And he was writing their sins, lying, stealing from your boss, beating your wife. You know, I don't know what he was writing. But he was listing them out before them. And can you imagine? You've got this secret sin you're sure that nobody knows about. And Jesus just writes it right there in public, right out in front of you. and their conscience was convicted, and they turned and they left because they couldn't handle the conviction. I wonder how many times you've turned and left a church service when God has convicted your heart instead of responding. Listen, Christians, I'm talking to Christians here. When God speaks to our heart, we need to cultivate a very tender response to God, a quick response to God. I grew up in a church in Western New York, and generally speaking in the North, these older churches, people do not like to come forward. They don't like to have their mask pulled down. They don't like to respond. They don't like to come to an altar. What a refreshing it was when I came south and I saw there was a different culture, that people were much quicker to respond. Let me tell you, never lose that tenderness before God, that when He convicts you, that you move and you do whatever He's talking to you. It isn't always just going to be to come do this. Take care of the matter. Deal with it. But we talk about a convicted conscience. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9, and we look at another kind of conscience. Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Christ offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Here we find a purged conscience. Do you know it's possible that you sit here today and you say, Pastor Butts, I've had a dark conscience. I've been under conviction. What do I do about it? This verse says you bring it and you put it under the blood. That should have gotten a big amen. You bring that conviction and that sin, and you respond, and you let Christ purge it. Completely get it all, it's all dealt with. It's clean before God. And I tell you, sometimes the devil tries to say, that sin is so heinous, it's so dark, it's so rotten, it's so, even Jesus can't fix it. Oh, what a lie. Could I say to you here, I don't know you. I don't know that's what's really down in any man's heart. That's his own little business. But God knows you, and God says that He's never cast out anybody that's come to Him. And His blood is able to purge your conscience and make it tender again. Some of you, you definitely know Jesus Christ as your Savior, but somewhere your heart got hard. It got seared on the edges here and there, and there's little dark lies and little things that are parked in your life that shouldn't be there, and the conscience no longer bothers you. It used to be, if you'd have seen that or done that or been around that, your heart would have just been so quick to respond, but now it's just parked there and it's part of you. You need to purge your conscience. You need to get cleaned up. Just get fresh with God. The Bible refers to a lot of times getting back to our first love. Purging yourself, in this case, of dead works. Things in my life I shouldn't be doing, but I'm doing them. How did they come into my life? And my conscience, I used to be convicted, but I'm not convicted anymore. That ought to scare you a little bit. You need to let God purge your conscience. At our salvation, the soul is saved, but the conscience is now also converted. The conscience gradually now begins to respond more and more as it's instructed from the light of the Word of God. It's cleansed by the blood of Christ. The new birth establishes a brand new normal, a brand new standard for the conscience to go by. sometimes we try to reestablish the old, unsaved, darkened standard. And we need to purposely bring it back. The unconverted person feels a conscience is a burden, and I need to purge my heart of those feelings that it's not right and get rid of. And a lot of times you hear unsaved people say, you need to just sort of shuck off all that religious burden they put on your back and be free to do whatever you want. That's how the unsaved looks at the conscience. But the saved looks at a conscience as a wonderful help to draw me closer to God. God's speaking to me, and I'm glad he spoke to me, because I wouldn't offend my Lord for anything. Has it been a while since your conscience has been that clean and pure? The saved conscience is a friend to know how to love and serve the Lord. It's a messenger from God speaking on what he would have you to do. Do you let your conscience respond to the Holy Spirit? The standard of the conscience before God is perfection. There are several verses that talk about that. They serve them with a perfect heart. Do you remember the kings of Israel? He was a good king, but he did not have a perfect heart. He was a good king, and he had a perfect heart. He was a good king, but he did not have a perfect heart in that he allowed this and this to stay in Israel. The standard of God is a perfect response to God when he speaks. So could I ask you, if you were being journaled in the Bible, would it say, here was a person that loved God, and he was perfect with God? In other words, he was responsive to God. When God spoke, he dealt with it. Or would it say, here was a person that loved God, but he was not perfect in. I don't know about you, but that's convicting to me. Areas that I know God has spoken to me, his word has put light on it. And my conscience, now being converted, says, I agree with God, that's right. But my heart doesn't respond. Are you perfect with God tonight, today? The Bible also speaks of another thing. It speaks of a weak conscience. What's a weak conscience? This is the young convert that has not yet got a whole lot of foundation. They don't have much of the Word of God. Their conscience hasn't been trained. It's like a young child that you can push around easily. But how do you help that young child? You feed it. You get out and exercise. And that weak conscience then gets strong before God. Do you have a weak conscience? 1 Corinthians chapter 8 says, and their conscience, being weak, became defiled. The conscience is like a filter to help me push the stuff out that would defile me. You know, there are different kinds of filters in our lives, in life. There's a coarse filter. What's a coarse filter? It's got great big, like holes this big, but it's meant to keep out the big gravel, but other stuff can go through. Then you've got a finer filter and another filter. And then you get filters that are down like you take silk. Little teeny, itsy bitsy holes. And the water just barely drips through it, but what comes through is really refined. I want a strong conscience before God. That I allow him to filter out, lest my heart becomes defiled before God. And I do that which I shouldn't. Often converts blame other things rather than themselves. They'll blame their environment. They'll blame the educational system. My friend made me do it. My wife made me do it. Oh, Adam tried that one. That's the weak conscience before God. Then we have a good conscience. What's a good conscience? Well, it's defined. I've got scriptures, but my time's exact. It's an obedient conscience. That's what this, a good conscience is, a conscience that just obeys God's Spirit. I have a good conscience. God spoke to me, I responded. You know, often when somebody's first saved, those first months and year or two, there's things that they had not really thought of before, but the Word of God said, oh, wow, I've been saved for 6 months and I still, oh, Lord, I am so sorry. I'm going to stop today. That's a good conscience. I didn't know, but now I know. I know right now. And my conscience says, I'm going to do what's right. That's a good conscience. Do you have a good conscience before God? If God puts his finger on your heart through anything, through the preached word, through any circumstance, and he focuses and he says, this is what is right in your life, is it already pre-designed in your heart and conscience, I am going to respond? That's a good conscience. In all good conscience is what we would say. Boy, we see all these investigations always in Congress, and we see these people are supposed to be leaders. And do you know one of the things that get them over and over again? They lie under oath. That's a bad conscience. When you and I can be dishonest before God, but a good conscience is one that responds when God speaks. And his word reveals that which needs to be dealt with. This is the desire of every born-again believer, to have a good conscience. Don't be at war with your conscience, Christian. Be at peace. Agree with the enlightenment of the Word of God now that you've been made alive in Christ. And allow your conscience to be free and good and holy before. You're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I don't know if I've ever accepted Christ and I've got sin in my life and my conscience is saying, you're right, Pastor, I don't deserve to go to heaven. That's why Jesus died for you, to clean all that away, and you can be made clean 100% before God, and he can then start taking his word and establishing that which is right. But it starts the day that you purge your sin and you become saved. You become one of God's children. You're made clean before God. But I'd say many of us here have had that experience where our hearts were clean before God. But what condition is your conscience before God today? The Bible says if a man say he has no sin, he's a liar. We know that. The truth is not in him. We all deal with stuff that isn't right. Amen? But when good and bad come to shove on my conscience, have you made up your mind to do right? That's a good conscience. There's more than one way to harden up your conscience. Sometimes it's not that you're doing so much evil. It's just the idea of not responding when God tells you to do stuff. My conscience says, God told me, and I was not obedient. What's your conscience like before God today? Is it good before him? Then I want to give you sort of a warning at the end of this message. The Bible says we should also have a careful conscience. It says it this way, a conscience void of offense. I should not have a conscience that allows myself to go weeks and weeks and weeks and I know that I'm offended. I am void. Do you know the Lord sort of draws a nice little line for us once a month as a church? We serve the Lord's Supper on Sunday night, the first Sunday night of each month. One of the things that we do in our church, and I believe it's a biblical thing, the Bible says that we need to let the Holy Spirit examine our hearts. A better way to say it, we let the Holy Spirit use your conscience and the Word of God to examine where is your position before God. And so we quietly do that, and I instruct this week, month after month, if there's anything that isn't right, clean it up. I can tell you by experience, because people have told me, they just mysteriously miss the first Sunday night of the month, because they know they won't face that question that night. Are you a person that's been avoiding the searchlight of God? You are not going to put yourself in a position where you're going to hear it? Or do you have a careful conscience? Lord, is there anything? Lord, have I offended you today? Lord, is there anything that in my spirit that isn't right, or my actions? Because, Lord, I want to be right with you. Can I tell you, there are some people that could easily have a conscience that appears to be right, and it's very not right. King David would be a man like that. For a lot of his life, he was perfect with God. But when he sinned with Bathsheba and killed her husband and all the things that he did, do you know, for almost a year, he went on with a poker Christian face, and nobody else knew it until Nathan the prophet called him down for it. Maybe everybody here says, oh, John Brown, Susie Q, I mean, she's clean with God. I'm not, there's anybody in our church, but in your heart, you know that is just not the case. How careful are you with your conscience? But here's the warning. Having said all that, God doesn't want us to go around afraid of our own spiritual shadow. Oh, I sinned. Oh, Lord, I'm going to die. God wants us to use that conscience to be at peace. And Christians, if you're here this morning and you'll respond to God, it's not something to fear your conscience. You'll just like letting the shower come over you and clean up your heart before God. You let your conscience respond before God. What a wonderful thing it is. You know, I had two boys. One of them liked showers. The other one you had to corral. One just liked that feeling of being clean. They'd take three showers if I let them in a day. And the other one, once a week with plenty. Okay? I'll let you figure out which one of my two boys are which, okay? And we had to teach them until there was a desire change. My son that did not like to have the showers one day met a girl. And he fell in love. And he got motivated. Hey, isn't that a beautiful picture of when we fall in love with Jesus? And we want to please him. And we're responding. Where's your conscience before God? I ask you just a series of questions. Is it careful or careless? Are you a careful Christian or an insensitive Christian? What has been your reaction in your own heart and conscience as I've been preaching this morning? Are you a little afraid? Are you saying, get it over with? Pastor, you're actually preaching longer than you've been recently. Come on, let's get out of here. I've had enough. Have you learned anything? Has God spoken to your heart? Do you have a dark conscience that's darkening and getting darker? Are you convicted? Do you want it purged? You can be made pure before God. Have you allowed your conscience to stay weak instead of growing? Is your conscience good before God? Is it void of blame? Is it a conscience that's growing in being careful and perfected? No medical doctor can put a stethoscope on your heart and say, your conscience is good. I think we know if your conscience is good or not. We don't need a doctor. You don't need me to tell you the shape of your conscience. I think we already know. You already know. It's in pretty good shape. I'm responding. It's not perfect. Nobody is. One day I'll put off this old flesh, but I'm trying to be that kind of man that I should be, that young lady, that baby Christian, that old mature Christian. Or I'm just that person laden with sin and disobedience, and somewhere along the line, I got seared. And I'm just not very convicted anymore. The conscience. Are you willing to let God search your conscience today? I tell people from time to time, as a pastor, if you really wonder about me, I don't have a problem of giving you the key to my office. And other than going through any counseling files I have, you're welcome to go through my office. You can go to my house. You can look under my mattress. You can pull out my drawers. You can look in my attic. I don't know where you put your stuff, okay? Okay. I try to keep a good conscience. Not for your sake, although it's part of my testimony. I do it because I love the Lord. So are you sinless? No. There are probably times in life people could point their fingers, but the difference between somebody that has a good conscience is when pointed out, the light is put on it, the response. Am I quick? Am I ready? Will I let God? What shape is your conscience in before God today? You started the message, you said, we all have one. Some of us don't like it. We wish it'd go away. I don't like to be convicted. My pride doesn't like it. But a godly man or woman embraces when the Holy Spirit works on your conscience. Let's bow our heads, please. I ask this morning before we pray, how many here could say, Pastor, I have a converted conscience. There was a day that I accepted Jesus. I got convicted of that. I was a sinner on the way to hell. Jesus was God's Son. I needed him as my Savior to wash my sin under the blood. And Pastor, I'm not a perfect man, woman. Don't even pretend to be. But I am a redeemed, blood-bought, born-again. My conscience has been made clean before God. Pastor, I know I'm saved. Could you raise your hand as a testimony? Okay, hands down. You say, Pastor, I'm here. And Pastor, I do know that I need to have my sins washed away. I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me, Pastor? I need to get my heart right before my holy God. I need to be saved, become his child. Pray for me. Is there someone like that? Just slip your hand up. I'm not going to call you out, but I will pray for you. I see this hand. I see this hand. Thank you. Pray for me too, Pastor. I need to be made right before God as his child. My sins washed away, and I'm joined to his family. Pray for me too. Let me ask this question, and most of our preaching's been to the Christian. Pastor, as you have spoken, my conscience needs some responding, some work, some changing, some repentance. You don't have to name it, Pastor. I know what needs to be done. And I'm responding as best I know before God. Pray for me. Is there somebody like that today? Just raise your hand up. Amen. Amen. Pastor, my conscience needs some cleaning. It needs some fixing. It needs to be strengthened. It needs to be made perfect with God. Pray for me too. Is there somebody else? Amen. I wonder if there's somebody here and you say, Pastor, there's some things that God's speaking to my conscience and my spirit and my heart today, and I'm just struggling. Pray that I'll get the victory. Is there somebody like that today? I'm just struggling in my heart. Lord, you've seen hearts today, hands raised. May you help us, Lord, to respond as you would have us. In Jesus' name. Quietly stand.